Hello and welcome to our Catholic News podcast. It's an interesting one today with me, James Abbott.
And me, Steph McGillivray.
Excellent. And I have to say, I'm going to question my pronunciation here, but we are joined by Cardinal Giorgio Marengo.
Perfect.
Who is, help me Father, Apostolic Prefect of?
Ulaanbaatar. Mongolia.
And in Mongolia. Now, we know there was a papal visit in 2023, and we'll come on to that. But for those of us that don't know geographically exactly where Mongolia is and its sort of makeup, number of Catholics and so forth, tell us a bit about that. Because whenever we say going to Mongolia, we just think that's a heck of a long way away.
It is, yeah. It's a lovely and wonderful country with a long and very noble tradition of culture, religious spirituality and all sorts of good elements to define a very ancient nation. Actually, it borders with only two countries, the Russian Federation and China. And it has been able to preserve its identity throughout the centuries. And so it's one of the fascinating aspects of their culture.
Wonderful. And now you've been in Mongolia since 2001, I think that's correct. 2003, my mistake. So nearly a quarter of a century that you've been there, which is a long time. And you've seen, I imagine, quite a lot of change and developments over that time. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about the life of the Catholic Church in Mongolia? It's not somewhere that you might traditionally associate with Christianity or Catholicism in particular. So what is the life of the church like there?
Yes, I consider myself blessed and privileged to be there to accompany the first steps of the establishment of the Catholic Church in Mongolia. Basically, the first Catholic missionaries in modern era arrived in Ulaanbaatar in 1992 when there was a shift in the political situation of the country. For 70 years, Mongolia was a communist country. No religious traditions were allowed. But in 1992, Mongolia asked the Holy See to establish diplomatic relations. And it was the move that made it possible for the first Catholic missionaries to land in Ulaanbaatar and to start from scratch because there were no Catholics around. And so it was fascinating how the first pioneer missionaries, and I want to remember here the first apostolic prefect and bishop, Bishop Venceslao Padilla, a Filipino by nationality, a member of the Immaculate Heart of Mary missionaries. And he was a great man of enthusiasm and energy. He settled down all the basic structures of the church that we enjoy today. Nowadays, the total number of local Catholics is 1,500. It's a very tiny community. We have 9 parishes, so you can imagine how small the assemblies are in our parishes, 5 in Ulaanbaatar and 4 in the rest of the country. The country is huge, it's big, 6 times Great Britain in terms of land. But only 3.2 million inhabitants, with 65 million animals, recorded animals. They are great herders. So, and the church is, well, if you want to use an image, we could refer to what the church was at its very beginning, what we read in the Acts of the Apostles, the first generation Christians, with all that this implies. Meaning embracing a new faith, connecting it with its one's cultural identity, sharing the faith with people with other backgrounds. So it's very fascinating, also challenging.
Yeah. Just tell me quickly, you know, as an Italian in Mongolia for so long, how have you come to love the country?
Well, that is really, I think, the key element for all of us missionaries. To love the people we have sent to, because first of all, we are guests in their country. So if we are there today after so many years, it is because of their goodness and their patience with us. And I think love and sincere appreciation when they're genuine, as they are, they really open many doors, because it is clear after maybe an initial suspicion that we are there not for any other purposes rather than to share the gospel, to share the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus with all those who are open to that, and with great respect for other religious traditions, of course.
Wow. And you mentioned that there are also challenges in your work. I wonder what some of those are. I imagine some of them are probably geographical. How do you actually meet these people? How do you manage to serve these 1,500 Catholics who are so spread out? But you must have seen quite a lot of change over these years in the country as well. I mean, obviously technological change in the world, and also environmental, perhaps, challenges. Can you just tell us a bit about what those challenges are and how you deal with them?
To be very synthetic, I would say that most of the challenges come from us, from ourselves, from the fact that we are maybe not enough equipped in order to face this cultural diversity. And many times we don't have the necessary tools to understand the reality. So it has to do with personal capacity to get acquainted with a totally different culture. And so I believe, maybe some of our fellow missionaries will agree with that, I believe that most of our challenges come from our weaknesses, our personal weaknesses, and the fact that we are... we have to consider a long time of insertion in a new culture. But beside those personal challenges, of course, we have some technical ones, like also getting acquainted with the weather that is not that, how do you say, welcoming, I would say. Well, unless you stay in Mongolia only in summer, which is very beautiful, but we have long, harsh winters. But and then the difficulty to learn at a decent level the local language. We do have some technical problems in terms of legal recognition of some of our institutions, but we are working on that with a very positive dialogue with local authorities. And then, yes, it's a constant challenge of discovering new ways, trying maybe one way, if it doesn't work, the ability and the freedom to change, to learn from our mistakes and to move forward. We are also a very international community in terms of missionaries. We come from more than 25 different countries. So we need also to find ways to understand each other. That's why we use English as a common language, though none of us is a native speaker. But this is the reality.
I think we must talk about that papal visit, because I think it probably took some people by surprise. You know, why Mongolia? We know Pope Francis had a heart for those on the periphery and for serving the church globally, no matter where it's found. Mm-hmm. Now, you say 1,500 Catholics, but I'm sure there were more people interested in that visit. Tell us a bit about that.
It was a grace for all of us. The fact that the successor of Peter decided to accept the invitation, that was remarkable, that the president of Mongolia decided to invite the Holy Father, because, as you know, unless the president of the country doesn't invite the Holy Father, he doesn't move officially.
Yeah.
So he it was a real state visit. The way it was presented to the large audience. And, of course, but it had a very special meaning for us, the small Catholic community. And I remember when he was welcomed officially by the civil authorities in the main square of Ulaanbaatar. It was very moving, because I thought of our 1,500 Catholics having their leader, the spiritual leader, being welcomed so with such an honor by the state. And also the speeches he delivered in Mongolia were very well welcomed. Till now, people remember those speeches, and when I have the chance to talk with the members of the authorities, they always quote some of those words. Pope Francis was able to really catch the beauty of the culture and to also beautifully express it. In that sense, it was a good way for Mongolia to be more known globally. And I remember many journalists asking me, tell us the true reason why Pope Francis came. Said, the only reason is the one he said. I want to pay respect to this noble nation. I want to respect the invitation I received, and I want to see this community. And one beautiful memory is when he was welcomed by, at the cathedral, outside the cathedral, we prepared a gir, a Mongolian tent. You can also call it yurt. And the person who officially welcomed him was a lady who turned to be a Catholic. After she had a very mysterious and wonderful experience, she found a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the middle of a dumping area in a city in the northern part of Mongolia. She was not a Catholic at that time, but then she came to know us through some sisters who were living there. And Pope Francis, when he came, he blessed that statue in our cathedral, and she was the one who welcomed him.
It's quite incredible that statue was even there, isn't it?
Yes, we don't know how it ended up to be there. So we like to see it as a sign of closeness of the Mother of God to the people of Mongolia and to everyone, as it happened in Lourdes. Massabielle was not a place of where many people would go easily, but then the Mother of God decided to manifest herself there. So it's a sign of closeness to us, I think.
Now, I hope Steph will forgive me because I'm going to jump in with this one. I look at you as a man of a similar age to myself, should I say, and there are various differing sort of assessments as to whether you're the second youngest or third youngest in the College of Cardinals. Just tell me, how were you surprised when you were elevated, as it were?
Of course, I was very surprised. First, when I was appointed as a bishop, I was 46 at that time, and then 2 years later, Pope Francis decided to include me in the College of Cardinals, so I was really shocked because I didn't know why his decision was like that. But I understood that he wanted to have also that kind of experience represented in the College of Cardinals. It was in line with his papacy, his vision of the church, to put together churches on the peripheries and churches of ancient tradition to have a positive dialogue. I am the second youngest. I was the youngest for a couple of years, but now I'm the second. And I'm really privileged to be there, especially to listen to the other senior cardinals who represent the core of the advisors of the Holy Father. So it's really wonderful to be with them.
Wonderful. It reminds me of, it's a real culture of encounter and openness, isn't it? To all people, not just, as you say, the senior people who have more experience, perhaps, but it's the way I see it, it's a really valuing your experience as a missionary. I wonder if you could tell us, perhaps as we close, if you have a message for Catholics who are listening to you here, you know, perhaps an experience that you'd like to share from your time in Mongolia, or a message that you think is important for Catholics listening here.
First, I would like to thank all those who are listening to us today and all the many grateful people I met in my few days in England and Wales. It was really encouraging to see how many people of good heart are there supporting, getting interested, praying for us, for the country of Mongolia. And I maybe share with you all an image that we like to sort of describe what mission in Mongolia is, but I think it has a value also for mission in general, the missionary identity of every disciple of the Lord. We like this expression, whispering the gospel to the heart of Mongolia. And I find it inspiring because it contains, like in a nutshell, all the elements of what mission is. The core is, of course, the person of the Lord, his words, his good news, his message, his gospel. So we whisper the gospel, and we share the gospel in this particular way of whispering, which presupposes a relationship with the person. And this has to do with all we were saying before, the long time we spend in building quality relationships, which is very important everywhere. And it has to do also with the fact that the gospel needs to be shared in a very respectful way, and also in a spiritual or contemplative way. And also the fact that this sharing is aimed at reaching out to the heart of the nation, the heart of the person. So I'd like to share this image with you all, inviting you also to always rediscover the faith that you have received, we all have received, as the source of our hope, the hope for the world. And I think we are all invited to share that hope with the rest of the world.
Beautiful. I think that's actually a beautifully gentle image as well. I feel very tranquil after hearing you speak. And just a final question, and another very gentle figure that we're all familiar with is Saint Francis. And you know, you spoke about the Catholic Church in Mongolia, the first missionaries being there around 1992. But in fact, as you say, it has a very rich history, the country. And in fact, you were telling us before that the first person from the West to ever visit what is now Mongolia was in fact a Franciscan friar.
Yes, he was. He was Friar John Plano Carpini, or John Giovanni di Pian del Carpine, a Franciscan friar of the first generation who personally knew Saint Francis. He was from Umbria, Italy, and it was interesting because Pope Innocent IV decided to look into the matter of these people from the East coming to Europe, and he wanted to have first-hand news about them and to establish a kind of connection with them. So he decided to send him to the court of the emperors of Mongolia. So he left from Lyon, because there was a council in Lyon at that time, and he went along with other Franciscan friars, including a Polish one and others from Europe. And after 1 year of long journeying around, he reached out, he reached the capital city of the empire, Karakorum, and to his surprise, he found that there were some Christians already there. There were Christians from the East, from Syriac tradition. And he was welcomed with all honors because he was an ambassador. And Mongolians, they had a great respect for official envoys. And people sometimes say they are the ones who invented visas, because with the pass from the Mongolian emperors, you could travel around the empire freely. And so John was the first one who described the Mongols to the West. And after him, another Franciscan from France, William of Rubruck, went also to Mongolia. So thanks to their descriptions, in Europe we started to know more about Mongols and their traditions. And it's wonderful to see that thanks to their contribution, Mongols were better known here in the West.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. I know that we've had a tight time window because you're so busy. And I think I should probably give a little plug to Missio for all the wonderful overseas mission work that they support. Missio.org.uk for any of our listeners that want to check out their website. Your Eminence, thank you so much. Second youngest cardinal. thanks for telling us about Mongolia, the Catholics there, the papal visit. It's fascinating. Perhaps you'd invite us one day.
Yes.
Sure, you're most welcome.
We look forward to receiving a letter from the president.
Thank you very much.
Thank
indeed.
You. Thank you.